Hello, beloved, and welcome to this Bible study on spiritual warfare. And in this study, we're going to look at praying in the Spirit in accordance to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Before we do that, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in the precious, glorious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, that we can have this privilege of studying your word. I pray that you will please open up your word so that we may understand. Please enable me as your servant to teach your word, Father, so that at the end of the day, you may be glorified in and through our lives. This we pray, Father, not because we deserve it, but in the wonderful, glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Now, what we're going to do is we are going to study or look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And this is what we read. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian believers, he says to them, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints. All right, now, the Apostle Paul basically explained the armor of God to the Ephesian believers in the previous verses. Nah? And now here in verse 18, he basically ends off by focusing in on the believer's prayer life, and rightfully so. You see, beloved, spiritual warfare is exactly that. It is spiritual. It's not possible to be involved in a spiritual battle in the way that you engage, a normal physical battle. You can't grab a Bible and then pick it up in the air and say, this is the sword of the Spirit, and you start slapping things around with the Bible. It doesn't work like that. Okay? You can't put on an imaginary helmet and think that that's the helmet of salvation. You can't put on or take up the shield of faith and then start, defending yourself against the fiery darts of the enemy. All the temptations and things that come your way. That's not how it works. In a sense, we can say that this spiritual battle is fought in prayer, but also it is fought with the Word of God. Now, as we pray to the living God, when we speak about prayer, because this is what Paul is doing here, as we pray to the living God, he basically answers our prayer, and then he is the one who intercedes for us as he decides, as he wills. You see, there are different ways that we can come to the Lord in prayer. And the frequency of our prayer are basically determined by what we are praying about. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us here in verse 18 to pray at all times with prayer and supplication. Now, what does prayer mean? Prayer basically means to ask, to make requests known, or to call on to one's aid. You see, what we do in this battle that we are in is, specifically when we pray, we call on the Lord to come to our aid, because we know he is the only one who can actually resolve any issue in the spiritual realm. We know that we can't enter into the spiritual realm because we're not a spirit in that way, that we can enter in there. But God can. So we ask the Lord to enable us to stand while we go through these spiritual battles, while he is the one who basically fights the battles on our behalf, because we just can't do that. Now, beloved, the moment the believer experiences a spiritual attack, he or she should immediately turn to the Lord in prayer. Before even quoting scripture, you can quote scripture while you are praying, but I think the first thing that we do as believers, or what we should do as believers, is when we get involved in a spiritual attack, or when we experience a spiritual attack, we must immediately turn to the Lord in prayer. We should make our request for help known to him and ask him to intervene. Right? Because remember, prayer is basically to call to one's aid. So I'm calling the Lord to my aid because I understand that I am now involved in a spiritual battle that's beyond my understanding. Okay, so basically what prayer is the means through which we are, as believers, are basically connected to the spiritual realm, you know, where the actual battle is taking place. Our part is to come to the Lord in prayer. The Lord's part is to basically fight the battle on our behalf, because he knows we can't do it. That's why he tells us in Ephesians, this is what we should do. Now, beloved, as we make our needs known to the Lord, specifically when it comes to the spiritual battle that we are in, it's just wonderful to know that I can leave it in God's hands and he knows what to do. He will basically do the right thing at the right time in the spiritual battle, because he can see the bigger picture, but he can also see what is happening at that specific stage. Now, beloved, it's important to understand the difference between the role of prayer, okay, and using the word of God as a sword, you know, in the spiritual warfare that we are involved in. There's a difference between the way we use prayer and the way we use the sword of the Spirit. Now, when we are tempted, specifically when we are tempted to sin or to do something against the will of God, it's during those times that we use the word of God as a sword. Okay, when I'm tempted to sin, that's the time that I should quote scripture that basically emphasizes my call to be holy or Christ-like, or to live in purity and godliness. Let me give you an example. For example, if I'm tempted to not forgive someone who has done something against me, okay, so I'm tempted to not forgive that person, the way to use the sword of the Spirit basically in that situation, because now this is a temptation, the way I use the word of God is to quote scripture. Take, for example, Mark chapter 11, verse 25. I can quote it and say, and whenever you stand, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So basically, if I know I have to forgive someone and I'm tempted not to forgive that person, I quote scripture that says I have to. I have to forgive that person, so what do? I forgive the person. What happened to the spiritual battle that I was in? The battle just dissipates because it cannot continue. Okay, another example would be, let's say, for example, I am tempted to doubt my salvation. There's this doubt that comes up in me, and it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Even though I know I love Christ, I've walked with Christ, I've repented of my sin, I've turned to faith in Jesus Christ, I've acknowledged him as Lord and Savior of my life, all those kind of things. But the moment a believer is tempted to doubt his or her salvation, a very good passage, the sword of the Spirit to use, is 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, where it says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." You see that, those words? That you may know that you have eternal life. So when I'm tempted to, how can I say, to doubt my salvation, I quote this verse, and it says, you see, there it says, that I may know that I have eternal life. Why? Because I believe in the name of the Son of God. And this I know I do. I believe in the name of the Son of God. I've repented of my sin. There's no two ways about it. So I may know, because scripture tells me, I may know that I have eternal life. Beloved, I really hope you see why it is important to know the word of God. You see, it's so that believers can actually quote appropriate scriptures as the temptations are fired at us. But you can't just take any verse and just quote it, because not all verses are going to have the same impact. You got to use the verse within its right context, and you got to use it within the right, situation. But still, prayer is the means through which we go to the Lord and ask him to intervene on our behalf. That's the reality. Now, let's take prayer for example. And we've experienced this numerous times in our lives. things just start going wrong when we start preparing to reach out to the lost. I mean, equipment break, just for no reason. The team starts getting sick. It's as if our financial support just dries up. People become hostile towards the gospel. They become hostile towards us. Now, in these situations, I mean, we knew it was part of the spiritual battle that we were involved in. And what did we do? Did we start fighting the people? No, we didn't. What we immediately did was to simply start praying for the Lord to intervene. That's what we did. We pray that the Lord will rebuke any evil entity. Now, so at the same way that Michael did it in the book of Jude, that the Lord will rebuke any evil entity that is trying to attack the work of the ministry. We bring that to the Lord. We ask Him to rebuke them. And you know what? It's amazing to experience things just change once we've prayed. It's just amazing. It's amazing to see how the Lord just intercedes and changes the circumstances. And let me tell you, we've noticed that. I've seen it many, many times. Another example is, let's say, for example, I'm preaching, and I've experienced this as well. I'm preaching very important message. Let's say it's a message about salvation. It's a message where people need to really concentrate, because this is speaking about the eternal destiny. And then while I'm busy preaching, something or someone just interrupts the service, just causes everybody's concentration to go off, to go somewhere else. You see, at face value, it seems that it's just an interruption. But the moment we look beyond the physical, and this is who we are now, we are spiritual beings now. When we look beyond the physical, we realize that it is a spiritual attack. It's a spiritual battle. It's part of this. It's Satan trying to prevent the word from reaching the ears of sinners. And he's trying to distract people from hearing the gospel or the message that is being preached. Now, what needs to happen is, I believe that members who are spiritually alive and who are sensitive to what is happening within the congregation, for example, or happening, let's say you're in the ministry and you're busy reaching out and finances dry up and things start drying up. Those who are sensitive to what is happening in the spiritual realm, they will not know that it's time to pray. They will definitely know, now it's time to pray. Now it's time to intercede. Okay? First, what we need to pray is, let's say, for example, I'm preaching and we're being interrupted, is people need to pray for me, for the person who is delivering the message, so they will not, how can I say, become mixed up, or that they will be calm, you know, that they will be able to focus on the message in front of them. Because it takes a while, once you've been distracted, to just come back and to have the same, ministry of the word. It's hard. So you pray for the person delivering the message, and then you pray also for the disturbance to basically stop, so that the message can reach the people. It's very easy for people to lose concentration. It's hard for them to gain that concentration, you know. So it's very good for believers then to sit and to pray, Lord, please, we pray that the people listening to your word, that includes us, obviously, but we pray for those who are listening to your word, because we are now in a spiritual battle, that they will be able to concentrate on your word, to hear what you have to say to them. Beloved, let me say to you this way, the spiritual battle is real. And I mean, we cannot fight in this spiritual battle with, let's call it, carnal or fleshly or physical armor. We're going to lose the battle. This is a spiritual thing. Now let's get back to our verse. Because in our verse, we see the Apostle Paul ends verse 18 by saying, be watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, all perseverance and prayer for all the saints. This is very interesting, because he's speaking about all the saints. You know, for this end specifically, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Wow, to be watchful for them. This is this idea that we think that when we get involved in a spiritual battle, sometimes we feel that, oh, I'm in this battle now, I'm all by myself. No. This is where other believers need to become sensitive to the spiritual battles that our fellow brothers and sisters experience, so that we can come alongside them and basically support them while they are busy in the spiritual battle. I believe that's also a reason why Jesus never sent out the disciples one by one, but he sent them out two by two. And the reason for that is the one person, let's say, for example, witness to other people, unbelievers, the one person would be engaged in the conversation or the witnessing, the testifying, and the other person will be praying. Why? Because we need that prayer support, because we are busy with spiritual things. We're not busy with earthly things. We're not busy with physical things. All right, so let me just read verse 18 again, that part. It says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Okay, so Paul basically urges the Ephesian believers to ensure that they make their requests known to God. But not only for themselves, but for other believers as well. That's that intercession thing, yeah, that we intercede for one another. We see where a person is in a spiritual battle, and then we go alongside them to help them. When we see a fellow brother or sister going through a spiritual battle, Paul basically then says, in this verse, he says, be watchful. And that means to take note what is happening in the lives of your fellow brothers and sisters. Be watchful. Take note what is happening in their lives. Check. Make sure. Okay, but then he also says, be patient, which means to persevere patiently with them. Okay? And if their battle is tough, then continue to stand with them in prayer. Basically, uphold their arms. Help them in prayer. Make them strong because they're busy with a spiritual battle. It doesn't help you come and bring them food and be willing to take them wherever they need to go. That's not the issue here. We're talking about spiritual battle here. We're talking about battling in the spiritual realm. I remember that for Daniel, while he was praying for his message to come through so that he could hear the message, took 21 days. So, beloved, I believe that we as fellow believers should always stand with one another in spiritual battle. Because the spiritual is as much real as the physical. But we cannot go and fight a spiritual war with physical means. That's absolutely ridiculous. But yet, sometimes I look at people and that's exactly what they're trying to do. That I believe is foolishness. And I think we need to stop that. We shouldn't do that. So, beloved, let me conclude. And this basically concludes the armor of God. Yeah? Next week, God willing, we'll continue with spiritual warfare. But for now, this is the end of the series within the series on the armor of God. We need to remember, you and I, remember that we are in a spiritual battle, no matter what we say, no matter what we want, no matter what we think. You and I are involved in a spiritual battle. All right? And that battle is against principalities and powers, things that are not seen. Okay? We need to understand that that's our battle. And what Christ wants us to do is to stand firm. Not to be overthrown, not to be cast down, not to be whatever, sit and sulk or whatever. But we as God's children are in this spiritual battle, but we're on the winning side. Because we're on God's side. It's absolutely amazing. So remember, we're in the spiritual battle together, which means that we should fight together. So next time you see a brother or sister struggle behind the pulpit, or you see them really struggle sharing a message, or you see them struggle in counseling, or you see them struggle in whatever, doesn't matter what it is, because the moment we become children of God, our lives revolve around Him. But remember, when we are involved in the spiritual battle, we are in it together, So look at your fellow brother and sister. And if you see them struggling, come alongside them, pray for them. You don't have to go and pray for them so that they know. Just sit right where you are if you can't do anything else, and then pray. Pray, pray, pray. Because at the end of the day, God will then intervene the way that He decides He wants to intervene, and it will always work out because God is in full control. Right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we could read this passage of Scripture. I pray that you will open up our hearts so that we may receive. And I pray, Father, that you will open our minds to understand so that you may be glorified in and through our lives. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much for watching. I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that His face will shine upon you, and that He will give you His peace. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.